Good evening. I want to discuss the topic of, as a continuation from last week, discussing the, as because also perm's approaching, obviously, I want to discuss hearing aids, using hearing aids to specifically for mitzvahs, but obviously because of the approach of perm, I wanted to discuss it specifically in the context of the Megillah and listening to the Megillah. So before we begin, and I realize we didn't do this last week, maybe it was appropriate to, I think it's important to give some form of background. Again, a very short background, not in depth, but just a short background so we understand, you know, what's going on. So first, let's just talk about for a minute or two how hearing works, how humans hear. So basically, the way it works is that sound is created one way or another in the outside, and those sound, you know, when you bang on, let's say, the table or something, it creates, or just talk, it creates sound waves that go, right, they basically, the sound waves kind of like compress the air, and they go to the outer ear. The outer ear brings those, you know, sound waves into the ear canal and eventually into the eardrum. There, in the eardrum, those sounds become stronger, and it goes all the way to the inner ear, or I should say the middle ear, really. And those, again, become stronger in the middle ear. Basically, the middle ear is between the eardrum and what's called the oval window. And it transfers these vibrations of the eardrums into waves, basically, and they get stronger until it goes into the oval window, through the oval window, into the inner ear, which houses the cochlea. Now, the cochlea is the most important part of the ear. I'm saying, even though I have no medical experience, that's what it seems like. That because in the cochlea, basically, you have these hair particles, I guess they would be called, that move with the sound waves, and they basically convert the sound waves into electric pulses. And those electric pulses basically are sent into the auditory nerve that eventually goes to the brain, and that's how you basically the sound is converted from a sound wave to electrical signal into the brain. So the brain knows that there's a sound. Obviously, it's a lot more complicated than that, but that's the simple way of understanding. The simplest way, I should say. So when it comes to people that have hearing disabilities, hearing loss, there are really generally two types. There's one that's a lesser type of hearing loss. It probably has an official name, that which I can't remember at the moment. But basically, someone who's hearing impaired on a, we'll just call it a lesser level, although quality of life may not seem that way, but because there obviously is a large spectrum, even in what we're calling the quote-unquote lesser level of hearing loss. But someone who's hearing impaired in this way basically has either he has an eardrum that's broken or his bones in his ear that are broken, things that are causing him a lack or to have an impairment in his hearing. But what's specifically important about this quote-unquote lesser type of hearing loss is that the inner ear, that which houses the cochlea, that's not at all impaired. That's totally, totally fine. It's the other parts that may be damaged. The second type of a person that's hearing impaired is really more of a neuro hearing impairment. Now, it doesn't mean neurologically there's anything wrong with this person, but basically what it means is those hair particles that are inside the inner ear that convert the sound waves into electric impulses to be sent to the brain, those ones aren't working. They're not converting the sounds. The hair particles are broken, whatever it is. Those are basically the two types of people that are hearing impaired. What a hearing aid does is that it takes the sound from the outside and amplifies it to a sound which someone who's hearing impaired can hear. So basically what it has a little microphone to basically take in the sound from the outside and, you know, it kind of makes an electrical current out of that. But even though it's electric, what's important for a hearing aid is that it really, all it does is amplify sound to a decibel level, which you can hear it as someone who's hearing impaired, but it sounds the same as anyone else in the world. It's just louder, because that's the only way this person can hear it. What a hearing aid cannot do is help someone who has the second level of hearing impairment, the more severe kind, the neurological kind, the one where his inner ear, there's something impaired and something damaged. That a hearing aid can't help. It still needs the cochlea to its fullest, I should say. So this question of whether someone who has a hearing aid can be yotze his mitzvah of Megillah is really just by a hearing aid. Whether that person with hearing aid, him hearing, again, amplified natural sound, is that considered real hearing? As opposed to a cochlear implant. Again, we discussed the cochlear implant last week, but just to give a very quick background again, basically the sound processor receives the sound and it converts it to digital code. That's going to be right around the person's ear. Then it goes through the coil up to a little higher above his ear. It goes through the coil and it transfers to the magnet, which is under the person's skin. The implant then basically converts the digital code to an electrical signal, and sends it along. I think it's called the electrode array. I looked it up after last week. That's in the cochlea. And the implant's electrodes stimulate the cochlea's those nerves, and that relays the sound to the brain to produce hearing sensations, etc. Basically, again, as we pointed out last week, what the cochlear implant does is the inner ear is damaged, and so it, instead of needing those hair particles that can convert the sound waves and send them as a signal up to the brain, you need to bypass that, and that's what the cochlear implant does. It really is an amazing thing, but again, for that, it's very, very hard to say that that's considered real hearing. My sister, who's an audiologist, I mentioned last week, told me that if you would have someone who, let's say, became severely hearing impaired, their inner ear became damaged when they were an adult, so they would hear their whole life until, let's say, they're 25, and then they would get a cochlear implant, so they would tell you what they hear is much, much different than what they heard when their hearing was typical. So obviously, it's very difficult to say that that's real sound. So the question really is, by a hearing aid, which by definition really just amplifies sound that everyone else hears, whether that's considered real hearing. Okay, so let's go through the sugya a little bit. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, tells us that someone who blows the shofar into a bore, into a pit, or many other things, if the person heard the shofar, then he's yotze his mitzvah. But if he just heard the echo, or he also heard the echo, then he's not yotze. And the question is, why hearing the echo, along with the shofar, is problematic. This is a discussion that the Be'er Halacha has in Orach Chaim in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Zayin. So he first quotes the Taz, who says that the reason is because it's a weaker sound. And anytime you have a weaker sound, you just can't really be yotze your mitzvah of shofar. So therefore, anytime you're not in the same room as the shofar, by definition, it's going to be a weaker sound, bouncing off the walls, whatever it is. And by shofar, that's not good. The Be'er Halacha disagrees and says the reason why a kol havara, by the echo, you're not yotze your mitzvah of shofar is because it's what he calls a kol me'urvav. it's a mixed up sound. It's not really that sound. It's not that it's weaker. It doesn't matter that it's weaker. But it's not that pure sound of the shofar. That's what the Be'er Halacha writes. He's choshesh for the Taz. Okay, but that's the basic disagreement. So the question is whether this idea of kol havara, that by shofar, if you hear the echo along with the shofar, you're not yotze, whether that applies to other mitzvos as well. So I saw in the Sefer Mikrai Kodesh, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank Sefer on Purim, he brings down from the Minchas Yitzchak, that the Minchas Yitzchak Dain Weiss, so again, you can look at this opinion in Chelik Beis of his Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak, I think in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, but this was before the Tshuva was even written, but he points out that Minchas Yitzchak thinks that a chayresh, a deaf person who hears through some sort of device, it's as if he's hearing an echo, and he's not going to be yotze kriyas haTorah, Megillah, and shofar. He says, because it's really the sound of, it's not the sound, I should say, of the chazan at that point, because it's almost like an echo. Again, he would assume this idea of having an echo doesn't just apply to shofar. It applies to any mitzvah that you need shmiah, that you need to hear. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank disagrees. And he holds that the din of listening to an echo by a shofar, you're not yotze the mitzvah, is specific to shofar. Because by shofar, there's some sort of problem of having like a taroves, of having different sounds. You need to hear purely the sound of the shofar. But by Kriyas HaTorah or Megillah, that even if you hear an echo, as long as you also hear the other voice, that's totally okay. And his svara seems to be, and the Tzitz Eliezer kind of really stresses that this is Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's svara. The Tzitz Eliezer true in Chelech Ches and Simon Yud Aleph. But he points to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's svara is that as long as it's coming from the kalach of the korei, the sound is coming because of the person who's speaking. So then it doesn't matter that it also maybe has an echo or whatever it is. They point out in the footnotes, at least in my version, that he has a proof to this idea, because if you look in the Seif of that Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Chav Zayin Amud Beis, again, the Reisha, the first part of the Mishnah says, Hatokei El Esoch HaBor, etc. You blow into the boar, so Im Kol Shofar Hashem Yatzav, Im Kol Avar Hashem Lo Yatzav. Then you're Yotzei the Mitzvah Shofar if you heard the Shofar, if not, you're not. But then, if you look at the Seifa, it says, V'chem Hisha Yeover Achori Beis HaKnesses. If you're walking by a shul, Oshay Beis HaSamach Beis HaKnesses, so you're right there. V'shama Kol Shofar, O Kol Megillah. And here's the shofar or the Megillah. Im Kevein Libel Yatzah, if he had intention to be Yotzei the Mitzvah, he's Yotzei, etc., etc. So why at the second part of the Mishnah, does the Mishnah also bring Megillah? So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, oh, because there's a distinction. The first part is only by shofar. Only by shofar is there a problem of hearing an echo of a kol avara. When it comes to the second part of the Mishnah, which deals with having intent, that applies both to shofar and to Megillah. Now, it's important that there clearly is a reason to distinguish shofar from Megillah. Now, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank does stress this. And he basically says that the reason is because shofar is a mitzvah to hear the shofar. Even the person who's blowing, presumably, Shaar Tzion writes this in Tov Kuf Pei Zayin. But it's a mitzvah to hear it. But Mikra Megillah is a mitzvah likro, to read the Megillah. So there is a distinction inherent, and therefore, if the mitzvah is to read the Megillah, so even if you hear an echo, okay. But if the whole mitzvah is listening, and purely listening, then maybe an echo wouldn't work. So this is the opinion of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. It happens to be the Minchas Elazar, the Munkacher in Chelek Beis and Simenayin Beis, at the end of his tshuva, seems to hold like Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, that this idea of kol havara, hearing an echo, is just a problem by shofar, not by Megillah. So the Munkacher actually writes, therefore, even if you're not able to listen to shofar through a phone, you can be Yotzei, because, you know, a phone would be like an echo, you're not hearing the person on the other side's voice purely. Nevertheless, there's no problem by Megillah, and you'd be Yotzei, presumably, even over the telephone. It happens to be that in the end of the tshuva, he's not exactly sure. He points out that there's some poskim may disagree with this. He leaves it kind of as a tzarachim, but he has this svar that anytime you have a mitzvah of shmiah, aside from shofar, that you have to hear something, as long as it comes from the koach, from the power of the mashmiah, of the person making a noise, of the korei, of the Baal Tefillah, whatever it is, as long as it's coming from his koach, even if it has other sounds, you know, that come with it, still not a problem. So obviously, this is very important for our case, because we're trying to figure out, you know, what exactly is the din of a hearing aid. You know, what voice are you really hearing? It happens to be, I'm trying to remember where. I think in the tshuva is Pa'asadecha, which is, Shmuel Monk's tshuva. He quotes from Rav Chaim Salvechik that a telephone has a din havara. It's a din of of an echo. And you wouldn't be yotzei any mitzvahs that have shmia. So it sounds not like Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. So obviously there's a machlokas in the poskim. We pointed out the Minchas Yitzchak already seems to say that also. So it's clearly a machlokas in the poskim as to whether hearing an echo, even if it's along with other voices, whether you can be yotzei your mitzvah of shofar, definitely not, but of other mitzvos as well. Again, to clarify, by hearing aid, the question is what you're hearing. Are you hearing the person's voice? Is there a little bit of an echo there? That's part of this question. And even if there's an echo, there seems to be machlokas in the poskim, whether that should make a difference. It happens to be, in the Sefer Halachos Ketanos, the Mari Chagiz, Chelek Beis and Siman Memhei, it's actually the reason I originally found it. The Be'er Heitev on Shulchan Aruch brings it down in Or HaChaim Siman Tov Kuf Peitas, right at the beginning. So he has a tshuva. I ended up looking, he only quotes part of it, but it's a very short paragraph. But he points out that a cheresh, a deaf person who makes some sort of, obviously not fully deaf, but makes some sort of device so that he can hear at kemin chatotzeros. It's kind of like a tube so he can hear. So the Halachos Ketanos writes, Pashat Shechayev B'Shofar. He's not considered a cheresh, and it's Pashat that he has to hear the shofar, because only a cheresh is only someone who totally lost the ability to hear. That's what the Halachos Ketanos, the Mari Chagiz, writes. And he brings a proof to this. And he says, if you look in the Gemara Sukkah, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us, L'kicha al yedei davar acher shma l'kicha. If you take the lulav with something else, it's considered a taking of the lulav. It's still considered as if you're taking it yourself, even though it was through something else. We'll see what the Shulchan Aruch writes. I'll just tell you. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Tafresh Nun Aleph, Siv Zayin, when he's discussing this din, Im Asa Beis Yad, if he creates some sort of handle, V'nasan Bo HaLulav V'natlo, Shapir Dami, and he puts in the lulav to take it, it's okay. Z'lekichai D'davar Acher Shma Lekicha. Because taking the lulav through something else is still considered taking. That's what he writes. So the Halachos Kitano says, so if taking through something else is considered taking, so Hu Adin Hachi, so too by us, that Shmiya, Ayidei Davar Acher Shma Shmiya, that hearing through something else is also considered a legitimate hearing. So hearing through some sort of device that allows you to hear, that's also. So what's important to understand is that the halachos ketanos, his example, is much different than a hearing device. Because there was some sort of tube that went in his ear. So I don't know if he just was had a lot of wax in his ear or something, but allowed him to hear. Obviously, it wasn't a significant hearing loss. But a hearing device, as we pointed out, there is an electric, right? When the microphone picks up on the outside sound, electrically, it kind of sends pulses to the cochlea to allow you to hear. So obviously, it's a device, much more than just, you know, putting something in your ear to kind of like a megaphone. So that's an important distinction to make. Now, Agav, there happens to be, Rav Yosef Engel discusses in his Sefer Gilyonei HaShas and Brachos and Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, that if you think about it, someone's voice isn't what actually another person doesn't hear. When Reuven speaks, Shimon doesn't hear his actual voice. What happens is, the way he explains it is, the voice creates some sort of something in the air, and these particles in the air, and it goes close to the person, and he hears that. What it sounds like he's describing are sound waves. He's saying, you don't really hear, and that's true. Again, this was a long time ago that he was pointing this out, but he was saying what we hear is not necessarily, we don't hear the voice. You hear sound waves that are converted to electrical signals that go into your brain that tell you, no, there's a sound. We don't actually hear the person's voice. So therefore, again, he has a suffix about this, Rav Yosef Engel, but what a person hears is not may not be considered kol, right? It's something that the kol, the noise creates. And don't tell me, says Rav Yosef Engel, that there's a distinction between, you know, natural hearing and hearing through something else, because the Halachos Ketanos proves different. You know, that's what Rav Yosef Engel says. I will come back. The Chavadas has Chacham Avadi and the Chavadas, Chela Gimel has discussion about this, but that's what he is proving. So again, Shmiya al Yidei Davar Acher is real Shmiya, the hearing through something else. You know, Rav Yosef Engel says is we don't never really hear the actual sound. We hear sound waves that are converted. So hearing through something else shouldn't be any different than that. If you look in the Gemara in Sukkah, where it discusses this idea that lekicha ayidei davar acher shma lekicha, if you take the lulav with something else through a beis yad, through a handle, it's still considered as if you took the lulav. So Tosfos point out that the Gemara in Sukkah on Mem Beis says that we only say this when it's derech kavod. But when it's derech bizayon, we don't say it. When taking it through something else is actually mevazeh, degrades whatever the mitzvah is, we don't say lekicha idei davar acher shma lekicha, that taking through with something else is considered a real taking. Only when it's derech kavod, it gives honor to it. So, and the Shulchan Aruch passes in that way, there in Tafresh Nun Aleph that I quoted before. So if that's true, so one has to figure out what the baseline is. Is it that we always say lekichai de davar acher shma lekicha, taking through something else is a real taking, unless it's a bizayon, unless it's degrading? Or do we say, no, taking through something else, lekichai de davar acher, is never considered taking, unless it's derech kavod? Why, what's the difference? So our case is a nafkamina. A person has a hearing aid to hear the Megillah, let's say. So is that derech kavod? No. Is it derech bizayon? Probably not also. It's probably neither. I don't know, it's not giving kavod to the mitzvah, definitely, and certainly not mevazeh the mitzvah, it's a long person to hear. So it goes back, what's the baseline? So if the baseline is, no, lekicha yidei davar acher is never lekicha, unless it's derech kavod, so in this case it wouldn't apply to our case, and we wouldn't say shmiya yidei davar acher shma, Israel shmiya. You would only say shmiya yidei davar acher is a shmiya when it's derech kavod, when it gives kavod and honor to the mitzvah. So, again, I'm not saying that with certainty. I'm just saying, yeshuladun aleha, that you have to think about that. Is this proof, a legitimate proof, if it may only apply in cases of kavod, meaning is the proof of the halachos ketanos, that shmiya al yidavar acher, that hearing through something with something else works, because of the Gemara in Sukkah, that lakicha al yidavar acher works. Does that, if that only applies to kavod, whether that really does apply in our case? Okay, what to think about. Now, there happens to be another thing. I think some of the poskim do bring this down. I couldn't remember who. But I do think that this is brought down. And it's a very interesting point. The Mishnah Negaim, in the second parak in the third Mishnah, says that a Kohen who's blind in one of his eyes, or he has very weak sight, shouldn't look at Negaim. Shouldn't look at when someone gets tzaras, so they have to go to the Kohen. The Kohen has to determine whether he's tahor or tame. If the Kohen is blind in one of his eyes, or he has very bad eyesight, he should not look at it. So, we saw Lipschitz in the Tiferes Yisrael there, and Boaz Ozdalad writes that an old Kohen who has very bad eyesight, and he needs what he calls, I think, brila or something, glasses, lechora, He's able to look at the nega. He's able to look at tzaras through, you know, bifocals, through glasses. And he brings a proof to this from the Gemara in Brachos on Chafei Amud Aleph. This was one of the first shiurim we did, when we discussed, you know, if you're in a hospital making brachos, etc. So the Gemara in Brachos on Chafei says that if you see an erva through ashashes, through glass, through a plastic, through a see-through, it's glass, literally. You can't say Kriya Shema. Why? Because the pasuk says Vlo Yireva Chayavaz Davar. You're not allowed to see the erva, and you see it through the glass. So says Rav Shaul Lipschitz, Alma, what you see is that if you look through glass, it's still considered seeing. Seeing through something else is still considered seeing. And he says that's not like a chumrah, that you just don't make a bracha by the erva because it's through glass, but it's not really maker, then you wouldn't. Because what he says is, ma'isim b'chol yom, that you make a brichas haTorah, and you would read through glass. Everyone knows that looking through glass is considered, seeing through glass is considered seeing. Right? There would be no difference. I think he brings down, I'm trying to find it right now, the Tiferes Yisrael. Okay, I'm not going to be able to find it, but he brings down the Magen Avraham and Tzim Reish Tzadi Ches, that you would make a bracha on a candle when it's covered in glass also. You would make a bracha on the Levana, the Magen Avraham writes in Tafchav Av. It's a big discussion, but through glass. So obviously seeing through glass is considered seeing. It happens to be Tiferes Yisrael there concludes and says maybe Negaim is different, maybe there is a Chumrah that he may make a mistake, so we just don't allow it. But Me'ikra Adin, you know, using glasses to see is considered a real seeing. The Be'er Heitiv in the Seder Chalitza, Biktzar, at the end of Siman Kuf Samech Tes, he quotes from the Shos Yaakov that a blind person that's able to see with what he calls Batei Einayim, obviously those are glasses, is not considered a blind person. No, that Bishchei Tshuva there quotes that this is the opinion of Rabbi Kiv Eger. The Archa Shulchan writes the same thing there. Tzifal, if I'm going to read you the Archa Shulchan. Good, okay. He sees through two eyes, but he has, you know, he's just not a great eyesight. Or he can't see without glasses. Last lamba, that's not an issue. That's not considered a suma. That's not considered a blind person. So again, this may be another proof. Here we have seeing through something else considered seeing, so then maybe you would say also hearing through something else should be considered hearing. The question you would have to ask on this proof is there is a lot of room to distinguish between seeing through glasses and hearing with a hearing aid. Seeing through glasses, it's not, nothing's changing, right? What the glasses do is, I'm not an ophthalmologist, obviously, but it helps you. It just changes, you know, basically as if it's giving you 20/20 vision almost. But nothing's changing when you put on a hearing aid. So you're hearing something, and then you have electric signals that are being passed and allowing you to hear. So presumably there is some sort of different with those signals, something different than glasses at least. But again, maybe it's not true. But you know, yesh ladun alav. So again, just so everyone is holding where we're at. We said that when it came to kol havara, when it came to hearing echoes, so there's a machlokas in the poskim whether the psul of hearing echoes applies just to shofar or applies to other mitzvos. And it applies to other mitzvos. The question is, by hearing aids, do we say that's hearing the actual noise or that's hearing something else with the noise? And again, that would be a machlokas in the poskim, whether that would be okay or not okay. We pointed out that there are proofs that it seems to be that hearing through something else is considered real hearing. First is the Halachos Ketanos. He writes that using this tube to hear. So obviously we pointed out there's a distinction between hearing aids and that, but he does say hearing with something else would be real hearing. His proof was from the Gemara in Sukkah, that Lekicha Yidei Davar Achir Shema Lekicha, that taking with something else is a taking. We said maybe there's a distinction between taking, because that only when it's Derech Kavod do we say it's a real taking. So when it's not Derech Kavod, we wouldn't, and using a hearing aid is not Derech Kavod, but it's also not Derech Bizayon. We did point out Rabbi Yosef Engel does say that, you know, hearing in general, you never hear a person's voice. You hear sound waves that are converted. So what's the difference between that and using a hearing aid? Okay, but that was one proof from the Gemara Sukkah. Then we had a second proof that maybe hearing through something else would be good, because seeing through something else is okay. As the Tiferes Yisrael and the many Achronim that we point out through, by Negaim, that if you see it through something else, it's still considered a full seeing. So maybe so too hearing through something else would be considered a real hearing. So, what do we do? Halacha l'maisa. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva, and we discussed this tshuva last week in Chelek Aleph and Siman Tes. By when you're talking about a microphone, a telephone, a ramkol. What's a ramkol? Huh? Yeah, exactly. Okay. So he says someone who hears a Megillah through this is not yotze. Why? And he explains because he's not hearing the voice of the person; he's hearing what he calls the membrane voice. The person's voice stops and it switches to electric impulses. That a person is really an ear can't hear the electric impulses, right? And so he's not really hearing the voice. And he says, I'm going to read his language. Umitztarani shalfiza nimtza shevanashim asher aznam kavda mishmoa umishamshim b'machshir shal microphone v'telephone katan. The karev is kol hamedaber l'aznam. He's very upset that there are a lot of people that are hard of hearing, and they use some sort of device and microphone and telephone to make the sound come closer, that they're not yotze at all. Shofar, mikra megillah, chadome. Va'akolponim einam arshayim levarich l'shmiyah zu, and they can't make a bracha. Kivin she'af gam heim shomim rak kol tenudo shel membrana, because they're not hearing the voice. That's what he says. So he obviously does not hold like Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, just to clarify. Again, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, what we started off with, points out that anything that comes from the koach of the mashmiya, that it comes from the reason why Shimon's hearing is because Reuven was talking, so that's considered hearing. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says that's just not true, and he says that you're not hearing his voice; you're hearing something that was changed electronically. She was mishpatei uziel madur tenyana siman hamadali paskins this way. The bare motion chela gimel and siman kuf samachvav paskins this way. Like Rav Shlomo Zalman, they point out in the Ha'aros there in Ha'ara 4 that after the tshuva was written, that Rav Shlomo Zalman met with the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish didn't think it was so pashut. And he says since the kol was created by the medaber, which sounds like the way Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank had it, and the voice and the noise is heard right away like anyone else who speaks, so maybe it's considered real hearing. Rav Shlomo Zalman still disagrees, and he thinks he doesn't understand the Chazon Ish at all. And I believe, I have to look at it again, but I believe he writes in the tshuva that anyone who disagrees with him on halachic grounds just doesn't understand the Metzias. And it happens to be, and we'll get to this at the end, but when it comes to these electric devices and things and electricity, you know, we generally rely on Rav Shlomo Zalman. He was known to be a tremendous bucky and expert in electronic devices, electricity, all of that. Yes, from his sefer, he wrote a sefer on it, but he was just known to know the metzias of it very, very well. Okay, either way, there are many poskim that discuss this idea. The Rav Moshe has in his tshuva in Arachaim Chelik Beis, I think Simon Kuf, and Chelik Dalet Simon Kuf Chavav, that he holds like the Chazon Ish. And he says that even if people, you know, say differently and say it's a different voice, But the point is, what you're hearing is made based off that original person's voice. Again, the way like Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank had it, and the way the Chazon Ish had it, where the person's voice is what created that sound. And he said, a regular person, someone who has typical hearing, so maybe what he's hearing is not the voice, he's hearing something the way the Rav Yosef Engel had it. He's hearing, you know, something that created sound waves that got changed in his ear to an electric impulse, like all of this stuff. And he says, so maybe, number one, and number two, on the other side, maybe the microphone is really his voice. It's not so clear. And so what he says is, therefore, don't protest anyone who wants to read the Megillah on the microphone. That's what he ends up saying. So it happens to be, Rav Osner has in his Shuvah Shevet Alev in Chelek Beis Simen Pei Dalet. I think Chacham Avadi also says it's in Chelek Gimel Simen Nun Dalet, and the Tzitz Eliezer says it's in Chelek Ches Simen Yud Aleph, and that Shuvah I quoted before, that, you know, because the Metzias is not Mevurar, it's not exactly, we don't know exactly what the facts are on the ground, so even if L'chatchila, one should try not to use a microphone, let's say for a Megillah, or a hearing aid for the Megillah, but for the Eved, we would say, if you did it, you're Yotze, and you should not make another bracha to read the Megillah again, because maybe it's a bracha levatala. Again, that's what these poskim say, and they all seem to lean towards the way Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish had. But as we pointed out, many poskim do hold, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Be'er Moshe, the Mishpatei Uziel, and I think, in general, when it comes to this, there are a lot of poskim who do hold like Rav Shlomo Zalman. I asked Rav Shechter about this, and Rav Shechter told me that he thinks also like Rav Shlomo Zalman of the past. Just he thought Rav Moshe is very, very difficult to understand. He didn't really understand why, you know, it is a hard svara, like the whole Kocha, this Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank svara, the Chazon Ish svara, they're not such simple svaras, and I think science has shown Rav Shlomo Zalman is right in Metzias, that really, again, as we started out with, that there's something electric in the microphone that changes the sound. The sound changes from what is being heard through a microphone to an electric signal that's sent. So it's not that natural sound you're hearing. Now it may sound the same, but there's something that was changed, and that's something that was changed. And with the poskim that say, you know, kol havar is a problem not just in shofar, but by other situations also. And the proofs that we saw before are not necessarily exact proofs. So because of that, it's probably, at least l'chatchila, if someone has a hearing aid, they should try to take out their hearing aid and go very close to the Megillah to try to hear the Megillah without the hearing aid. Rav Shechter did tell me that that in the biography of the Stipler, I think in Orchos Rabbeinu, so they have that he was known to be very, very hard of hearing. If I remember correctly, I asked him this a while ago, but I think Rav Shechter, I never saw this in Orchos Rabbeinu, but this is what Rav Shechter told me, that the Stipler took out his hearing aids when he heard the Megillah, but he would make the bracha himself. And then he would make the bracha himself, and then he would say, Amen to the Chazan's bracha. I don't know, it was a weird situation. But that's another solution, is to make the bracha yourself, in which case you're not being Yotze with the Kriyas HaMegillah there, and then be able to, and then read the whole Megillah yourself. Because again, the Chatchila, wearing the hearing aids may be a real problem. Now, wearing the hearing aids may be a problem. Again, cochlear implants are most definitely also an issue. There's just nothing you can really do about it. The hearing aids, unless it's a very you have profound hearing loss, so you would theoretically be able to take out the hearing aid and go very close to the Megillah and be able to hear the Megillah. Now, some people can't. If you can, so you have to try to rely on the poskim, the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe that thought it was okay. You know, Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he goes as far as to say, and again, this is also not pashut at all, but he goes as far as to say in Chelek Dalet and Simen Sadi Aleph, I think it is, but that someone, there was a woman in the hospital and she needed to hear Abdallah, and for some reason she couldn't make it or hear, and she wanted to hear from a man on the phone, and Rav Moshe said it's okay, she can hear Abdallah over the phone. So all these things, again, in COVID, for example, we had to rely on this a lot to be able to hear the Megillah over the phone or whatever it is, and people couldn't go. There was just nothing to do. We had to rely on that. But l'chatchila, we definitely try to be choshesh for Rav Shlomo Zalman that these things are not considered really hearing, not considered really shmia, and therefore one should try to take it out. This would apply to Megillah, would obviously apply to shofar. Everyone would say it applies to shofar. But Megillah, shofar, are the big ones. Now, just to end off quickly, by Kriyas HaTorah is another question. What about by leaning? Do you always have to take out your hearing aid? We pointed out last week, it's not so much, I guess, to take off your hearing aid on Shabbos. So, to have to take it off in the middle of shuls, it may cause noise, whatever it is. But even leaving that aside, I asked Rav Shach for this because I mentioned that there seems to be a distinction between Kriyas HaTorah and, let's say, Kriyas Megillah. Kriyas Megillah is a chiyuv to hear the Megillah through Shomei Ka'una, whatever it is. But when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, that's not really what it is. It's really like it's meant to be a Talmud Torah Derabim. So it's like a public form of Kriya. So Rav Shechter thought, yeah, you definitely, it sounds like you definitely could, he thought, you can definitely be mechalik between Kriyas HaTorah, leaning, and Megillah. Even if l'chatchila by Megillah, we would ask someone if they can to take off their hearing aid to hear, by Kriyas HaTorah, l'chora, you would probably not have to. Okay, it's a little early, but we're going to end here because it's a Motzei Shabbos. Okay, Freilich and Purim, everyone.